It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and at www.wrir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
The Fair Credit Reporting Act was, as I joke, and I've given this before, was a statute that was enacted in the early 1970s. And I typically, the joke I've said again and again, is before the banks bought Congress. It is a law that has potent remedies. 1681N and 1681O allow remedies for your clients that nothing in Virginia state law will provide you.
Consumer protection attorney Len Bennett talks about the massive violations of the Fair Credit Reporting Act and what consumers can do about it. And during this week's News You Can Use, you'll learn that the Famous Moms program is back to offer more coverage options for pregnant women. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 253, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.wrir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. On December 1st, the Famous Moms program was reinstated to offer more coverage options for pregnant women. FAMIS, which stands for Family Access to Medical Insurance Security, will begin enrolling eligible pregnant women in health coverage so that they can get the services they need to have a healthy baby. A family of three can earn $40,570 a year and still qualify for Famous Moms. With Famous Moms, there are no enrollment fees or monthly premiums, and there are no co-pays for pregnancy-related services. And once the baby is born, he or she is automatically eligible for health insurance through Famous for the first year of life. For more information about Famous Moms or to check eligibility, visit www.coverva.org or call Cover Virginia at 1-855-242-8282. The Staying Healthy web pages also provide useful information and links. Pregnant women can also sign up with Text4Baby to receive free text messages each week geared to their due date or their baby's birth date. Text4Baby messages have helped women recognize warning symptoms, reminded them of appointments, and improved their access to health services. In other news, last month the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or CFPB, issued a proposed rule to protect consumers who use prepaid credit cards and payroll cards. The proposal offers strong protections for these cards that will help ensure that funds are safe, costs are transparent, and prepaid cards are free from abusive overdraft fee practices. The CFPB proposal restricts, but does not completely ban, overdraft features offered on cards, especially those sold by payday loan stores. Some prepaid cards push overdraft protection that makes it harder for families to make ends meet, draining scarce wages with fees and leaving a hole in the next paycheck. The proposed rule requires companies to be honest when they are offering credit and not disguise it as overdraft protection that can balloon into hundreds of dollars of fees a year. The CFPB proposal requires prepaid cards that function as credit cards to comply with credit card rules, including ability to repay, sufficient time to repay, limits on fees in the first year, and a wall between the credit account and the prepaid card funds. While these rules are a big improvement, the National Consumer Law Center notes that overdrafts should be prohibited entirely on prepaid cards. Consumers should be able to rely on a prepaid card being truly prepaid and as a safe way to control spending. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Out of 200 million credit reports in the country, 40 million have errors, 20 million of them serious errors. Consumer Protection Attorney Len Bennett spoke about the massive violations of the Fair Credit Reporting Act and what consumers can do about it at the 2014 annual statewide Legal Aid Conference, and the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show was there. Here are his comments.
Good afternoon. My name is Leonard Bennett. I'm a private litigator. My office is in Newport News. I've been doing this since 94. And a privilege to be able to speak here. And I wanted to start by talking about one particular case, which I see is not up on the screen, but I will read. And if you go and you Google Roanoke Times, anybody from the better looking part of our state over in, there you go, all right. So the Roanoke Times has had actually a lot of really excellent reporting for a mid-sized town. But this Roanoke Times, Christy Kelly, Bank of America will get you there. And the headline is "A Satisfying Settlement to a Mortgage Morass." Carrie Arthur nearly lost her home in foreclosure, but she fought back, eventually suing Bank of America. Now she owns her property free and clear. When she had been foreclosed from her property as a result of a HAMP effort, a failed HAMP effort with Bank of America. It tells a story about how Christy Kelly decided to sever Arthur and her other Virginia clients from the class action case. She did that for three reasons. First of all, wanted them a speedy resolution, and the Massachusetts case was moving very slowly. Second, lawsuits move more quickly through the federal court that covers Northern Virginia than any other jurisdiction. It's known as the Rocket Docket, Kelly said. And third, each of those clients also had a claim under the Fair Credit Reporting Act. All of them contended Bank of America had unfairly ruined their credit after they had precisely followed the bank's instructions. And it tells the story of her, of the reporter's effort to interview Kelly to find out what the settlement was. And it was confidential. These three cases had balances between 125 and 291,000 or different amounts. And all three of them showed remarkably two events that occurred within the same week or so. One was a dismissal of the federal lawsuit in federal court. The reporter also then had the sense, without Kelly or Mize prodding, to go and check the land records and noted that the deed was placed in the name of the consumer the same week that the federal lawsuit was dismissed and the entire mortgage was satisfied. And what irritated me was the reporter assumed that's all that Kelly got these people because the rest was confidential, right? And the point is that while you hear all these horror stories of consumers playing defense, whether it be with debt collectors trying to defend the lawsuits against debt buyers, mortgage victims that are trying to struggle to keep their home, or they're upside down because of a subprime loan in the lending crisis, or a HAMP debacle, is that we as private litigants and you as legal assistance folks struggle playing defense. Kelly's philosophy, Christie's philosophy, our philosophy at our firm is never to play defense. Is that if a bank is coming after your client, you need to have the claims, the leverage to push back and to become the aggressor, the plaintiff, not the defendant. And that, I think, is the story of that Roanoke Times matter. But I'd also say, nationally, Christy is speaking at, I don't be her public relations person, but at the National Consumer Law Center Conference on the same issues, that she has found a way, and we have found a way together, to use the Fair Credit Reporting Act as that leverage in multiple contexts, and the most effective way has been in the mortgage context. The Fair Credit Reporting Act is found at 15 U.S. Code 1681 et seq., and it has multiple sections to it. The ones that matter the most are at 1681N and 1681O. 1681N and 1681O are the remedies. The Fair Credit Reporting Act was, as I joke, and I've given this before, was a statute that was enacted in the early 1970s. And I typically, the joke I've said again and again, is before the banks bought Congress. It is a law that has potent remedies. 1681N and 1681O allow remedies for your clients that nothing in Virginia state law will provide you. In the event of negligence, which is a relatively low threshold, your client could recover actual damages that can include recovery for annoyance, frustration, fear, anger. None of the stuff that we might be accustomed to learning about with intentional infliction of emotional distress in Virginia state law. At a low threshold of recklessness, willfulness, which just means an objectively unreasonable view of the law, your client could recover punitive damages that are not capped by statute. Your client could recover statutory damages of $100 to $1,000 merely because the report was not used correctly or the notice wasn't provided. So the Fair Credit Reporting Act has become, in Virginia, this is ground zero, a very scary statute for the bad guys, for mortgage companies, for debt buyers, for banks, for credit reporting agencies. And if you're aware of that, and you're aware how to use that tool, then you can accomplish, even if you're not seeking to recover money, and a lot of these cases yield a lot of money for private litigants, you have leverage, you can force changes. And as well, you have concerns, particularly anybody do domestic relations work, then you have concerns if you represent domestic violence victims, if you represent circumstances where you're representing the victim spouse in a circumstance, that you need to know Fair Credit Reporting Act remedies. Now, Christy starts out the PowerPoint by saying how to get a free report. You can get your free credit report. Has everybody gotten their free credit report at some time in their lifetime? All right, come on. If you haven't, raise your hand so I can pick on you. All right, there you go. But you may have seen these really kick-ass commercials with maybe a dancing pirate or something, right? FreeCreditReport.com. FreeCreditReport.com, incidentally, is owned by one of the credit reporting companies, and they're trying to get you to buy their product or get your clients to buy their product through this gimmickry, and they make a lot of money, and essentially it's like somebody that is getting drunk at a bar offering to sell insurance in the event that a drunk driver hits you on the way home, right? So Experian is selling products so that clients, consumers, can protect themselves against Experian. But annual credit report is the actual one required by the Federal Trade Commission and now the CFPB, annualcreditreport.com. Your clients, you, can get one free copy from each of the big three, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, each year. You can stagger them. They're generally similar but not identical. The categories of bad guys under the Fair Credit Reporting Act are and Chrissy hasn't broken down this way, but there's really three categories. Number one would be consumer reporting agencies. These are the sellers of data. Credit reporting data is sold by Equifax, TransUnion, Experian, and landlord-tenant data is sold by companies like CoreLogic or SafeRent that sell reports on past tenant payments and tenant lawsuits. You have employment background check cases for people who are trying to get a job. If anybody represent or does restorative rights litigation or folks that have a criminal history of any sort, very often they're going to have to overcome a problem related to employment background checks. Those are all consumer reporting agencies, category one. Category two are furnishers. Statute calls anyone who gives information to these agencies, a furnisher, banks, mortgage companies, judgments, tax liens, criminal records. These are all picked up by the background check companies scouring the public records, almost all of it over the internet. The third category are users, people that pull and obtain the reports. And there's restrictions on how you can pull and obtain a report.
You've been listening to consumer protection attorney Len Bennett explaining the Fair Credit Reporting Act at the 2014 annual statewide Legal Aid Conference of Virginia Legal Aid Attorneys. We'll be back in a moment. We continue now with the remarks of consumer protection attorney Len Bennett at the 2014 annual statewide Legal Aid Conference explaining the Fair Credit Reporting Act.
Now we have a settlement that we just accomplished against LexisNexis that's going to change the way Acuant's sold, but there are lots of other companies that sell this, all types of data, and it's all governed by this statute. The data comes by different ways. It's for the traditional creditors and debt buyers, they report over the internet now, each month. And it's in a standard format. There's something called the Credit Reporting Resource Guide. Every single account that is sold regarding you or your consumers, like Bank of America, each month it'll send a dump of one line for each account. And every space in that line, whether it's 8 through 16 or 186 through 192, will signify something different, such as this is the block where last name is, this is the block where payment history is, and that type of thing. All automated. There's the big three, there's their websites. These are the different types of legal remedies for inaccurate credit reports. The primary problems that we see with credit reporting, or that you might see related to inaccuracy, is they got the wrong person. Call that a mixed file. Happens a lot. If you are, you know, you name your kid after yourself and they stay with you till they're over the age of 18, hopefully they pay their bills, because your names very often will be matched. I represented two seniors, Mary E. Jones and Mary W. Jones. They lived in the same apartment building. They lived on the same floor. One was apartment A, one was apartment C, and they couldn't stand each other. And the credit reporting agencies merged their credit so that Mary E. saw Mary W.'s report, and Mary W. saw E.'s report, and they went after each other about that. And they both separately retained us. And having to do a conflict analysis on that was, you know, make sure, right? We have cases Christy keeps getting again and again, mixed file circumstances, when, particularly when you represent, we don't have this in Hampton Roads like you would in Northern Virginia, but a diversity of names. Because the credit reporting agency computer just if cannot figure out if you have a family that immigrates, the family all goes down to the Social Security office together. They might have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The brother is might be 788, 787, and so forth. And so you could have Social Security numbers that are almost identical, and then if you have names that are almost identical, the credit reporting agency, all three, procedure for matching Social Security numbers is 7 out of 9 digits have to match. If 7 out of 9 digits match, the Social Security numbers are seen as the same. I represented, and this engenders sympathy for Equifax more than my clients, but our client had made 15 disputes. In Wisconsin, Adolf K. Schubert, his parents had another son exactly a year later, and they named him Adolf K. Schubert. The middle names were different, but the middle initial was the same. Adolf K. Schubert, my client, paid his bills. The other Adolf K. Schubert didn't. A lot of judgments, criminal history, and it disappeared. And they lived in the same house for part of their early adulthood. The same first and last name, the same middle initial, the same day of birth, different years, and they both had Social Security numbers one digit apart, right? So Adolf K. Schubert was cursed by Adolf K. Schubert's credit history. Other problems besides the mixing, and much more common problems, are inaccurate payment history. Somebody has paid their bills, or they've paid them off. For legal services folks, you'll often deal with debt buyer problems or debt collectors who are very aggressive. We want our money, or we're gonna screw your credit up. And false promises. Pay us or work out this payment plan, and that will help your credit. You have car dealers that are offering or pitching, come to us so that we can improve your credit. My view, anybody do debtor defense? Or all right? So my view is that people don't owe a debt unless there is some proof that they owe a debt. The debt buying industry is exactly the opposite. The debt buying industry says, we claim you owe it, and we are going to put it on your credit report until you can show us otherwise. When a debt buyer buys debt, they buy it at a few cents on the dollar. And they buy only essentially a spreadsheet that may list name, address, social security number, balance on the account. It's often just those things. Sometimes it'll have last interest rate before default, but typically nothing else. They don't buy documents. These contracts between debt buyers and the credit card companies that sell them actually have all kinds of disclaimers that the seller does not promise anything about this debt. And on top of that, in order for the debt buyer to go and get paper copies of things, it's usually fairly expensive. They've got to pay the creditor for copies of that. And so you don't have debt buying lawsuits like when I started practicing law. They slam your credit report, and then they wait for some reaction. And there's two pieces of advice I would give regarding debt buyers and credit reporting. And number one is, do not assume and do not agree to pay. Your client holds all of the leverage. And debt buyers are cowards. Pushing back against a debt buyer in a credit reporting context will almost always cause it to disappear off a credit report. The credit industry has pushed debt buyers to stop running away from credit reports when consumers make disputes, but it's not gone well for them. We have a judgment in the Northern District of Alabama against Midland Credit for not taking a Dell financial credit card off our guy's credit report. He had paid it, and Dell had lost the account. And the jury awarded $100,000 of actuals because he was up at night, having to take NyQuil once a month in BC, if you're in the South, most of us, I guess, are, if you're from here, right? Take BC powder and NyQuil to go to sleep. That was his $100,000, and then $623,000 of punitives on top of that, and the verdict was sustained. So the debt buyers, Midland, for example, have gone back to running away from credit reporting when consumers make disputes. The second reason I would never pay a debt buyer is because it likely won't improve your client's credit. But a credit score is determined by a number of things. One thing it's determined by is how much of your good credit you're utilizing, right? You have a $30,000 of total credit limit, and you're utilizing $29,000 of that $30,000. That looks like you're desperate. That hurts your credit score. Another thing that hurts is bad debt. You owe a lot of money to that's past due, or that's in default, or that's subject to collection. But a third is the recency of your bad debt. And so by the time a debt collector gets hold of an account, it's already pretty old. If your client pays it, it's re-aged. So instead of being a 2008 credit card default charge-off, it becomes a 2014 paid charge-off, which means your client's credit score isn't going to improve, and not improve by much.
You've been listening to consumer protection attorney Len Bennett explaining the Fair Credit Reporting Act at the 2014 Annual Statewide Legal Aid Conference of Virginia Legal Aid Attorneys. This is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. Turn me around, I'm gonna keep on walking. That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. A car title loan is one of the worst financial decisions you can make. Join us next week when consumer protection attorney Aaron Witt explains the 21 forbidden practices of car title lenders and what to do about them. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.